Joshua chapter number 4 this morning. Thank you, men, for the wonderful songs that was brought this morning. What a challenge. Go ahead and mute this. Chapter number 4 this morning. Last 58 years of my life. At this time, I guess the young people can be dismissed back to junior church. All right? They're all starting to trickle out. Young people, you can be dismissed, all right? If you're 12 and above, stick around, all right? The past 58 years of my life, there are events that have stood out above all others. There are things that I will always remember. And I hope when my years are fading and my memory starts going, as many times in older people it does, there are some things I hope I never forget. I remember the day I got married. It's a day I never want to forget. I remember when my bride walked down the aisle. It was a memorable day. I remember when my usher passed out cold and hit his head on the pew. And the minister said, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And one guy stood up and said, "Yes, I'm a doctor." And there was about four guys picked him up hands and foot and hauled him out of the hallway and got him revived. I'll never forget that. What a memorable time that was. There are some things that happen in our lives that we just never forget. I remember when all three of my children were born. Going from no children to children is a life-changing experience. The same as it is when you have your last one leave the nest. I looked at my wife when my last son moved out of the house and I said, "What do we do now?" It didn't take us long to figure it out. But having children is a life-changing experience. It really is. I remember when I got saved. It changed my life. It changed my eternity. It changed everything about me. And today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a day that you'll never forget. I remember 15 years ago, I woke up and I was downstairs and I was watching the news, and it showed one of the Twin Towers burning. A plane, a 757, drove into the side of the World Trade Tower, and I'm sitting there watching it in unbelief. And the announcers on the news said, a horrible accident has taken place, and I'm sure that there's hundreds of people that have died, and the announcer was going on, and all of a sudden it showed another plane coming towards the tower, and I watched the news as that other 757 crashed and actually ran itself into the other tower, and all of a sudden the news forecaster's tone changed. He said, "We are under attack." And what happened on September 11th of 2001 is a day that I will remember the rest of my life. I hope young people here today, if you were not alive or you were just real young, that you will remember the history of that day. It is a day that changed the course of America. It is the day that changed the course of over 3,000 lives. It was a day when people stood up, even though they took their lives in danger, and they charged into a burning building, not knowing whether or not they would come out. It was a day when several men stood up on a plane to go ahead and subdue those attackers and said, "Let's roll," as they went ahead and those jihadists under control, and that plane ended up crashing in a field outside of Pittsburgh. That plane was heading towards our nation's capital. What happened on September 11th was something that I will never forget. And I hope that you will never forget it also. I remember watching as the towers came. I remember watching in just awe and just in shock as I saw people falling out of those towers and jumping because of the fire. I will not forget the billows of smoke and ash that came up as those towers disintegrated. I remember when George Bush went to the scene and he tried to comfort those that were there. I remember the first responders raising the flag like what they did over Iwo Jima, making a statement, "We will remember." I want you to notice Joshua chapter number 4. In Joshua chapter number 4, God is telling the children of Israel, there is something I want you to remember. Today, if you go to the site of the World Trade Center, you'll see a reflecting pool, a fountain they built in memory of all those that died. And the waters constantly run. Their names are around it. There's a great memorial that has been set up at the site of those fallen towers. A place to remember those that gave their lives and the lives that were taken unjustly. In Joshua chapter number 4, we find it is a chapter of remembrance. The children of Israel, in context, by the mighty hand of God, was delivered from the bondage of Egypt. By the power of God, the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground, and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the sea afterwards. We find that in the context, by the mercy, grace, and love of God, God provided for them in the wilderness. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out for 40 years. He gave them manna to eat. He gave them water from a rock. He gave them, when they got tired of the manna, he gave them quail to eat. Everything they needed, God provided for them. And by the providence of God, the Lord is now leading them into the promised land. That's the context. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. We find here that God parted the waters of the River Jordan. And as the waters of Jordan were parted, the Lord wanted the children of Israel to remember just what had taken place. I was not alive during World War II. But I remember talking to my dad about what happened in the South Pacific. I remember talking with a man by the name of Art Whaley in depth, who spent his time in the South Pacific in World War II. Boy, could he tell some war stories. And he was able to tell those stories because he was there. And my dad and Art and many other people, they meet together and they rehearse those stories over and over for a reason. They don't want the next generation to forget. The men that was in World War II and those that were in the Korean War and those who were in Vietnam and those who were in Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield, those who were in the wars recently, when they come back, they don't want the young people to forget the sacrifice that their soldiers have made and the lives that have been sacrificed so that we can have freedom here. And the same is true about what was happening here. God allowed the children of Israel to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. And he says, you know what? I don't want you to forget. I want you to take every man out of every tribe. I want you to take one man. I could just imagine. They probably picked the biggest and the strongest man that they could find. I want you to go down inside of the Jordan River and I want you to pick up a stone and put it on your shoulder and carry it out. And they built a memorial out of those stones. And when the children that was not there to experience it passed by, they said, what are these stones about? The parents and the grandparents could say, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how great God is. Let me tell you just exactly what took place in those 40 years of wilderness wanderings. You see, these 12 stones were taken out of the bottom of the river in order to make a memorial, in order for them to remember that event. This morning I want to ask a question. What was it that they were supposed to remember? What was it that they were supposed to remember? I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say. Look at verse number 7, if you would please, and following. What the children of Israel, what God wanted the children of Israel to remember as they brought these 12 stones up out of the bottom of the river. Number one, he wanted them to remember the power of God. As they wandered through the wilderness and as they crossed over the Jordan River, God wanted them to remember the power of God and what God had done there. All of a sudden, they came to the River Jordan, and the Jordan River was overflowing its banks because it was the time of harvest, and the Bible says that the Jordan River overflowed its banks every year at the time of harvest. You ever been by a river that's just raging? You ever been by a river that's overflowing its banks? I remember going down here to the Sandusky River after they had a hard, hard rain and no one was allowed to be on the river, and down by Tiffin there was just white caps and rapids rolling through there. The river was just fierce. And I thought to myself, wow, it'd be foolish to have anybody ever get out there, because I used to go canoeing on the Sandusky and it was treacherous looking. The Jordan River was overflowing. It was treacherous. And God told the children of Israel, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant and I want you to step into the water. By the way, the waters did not part until they took the step of faith to step into the river. And when they took the step of faith, the waters went and parted. You know, sometimes God wants us to go ahead and express faith and just step into the water.
That's right.
Amen. And then God will go ahead and part the waters after you exercise faith. And so we see here that God was doing a great work. And what was happening, he wanted them to remember the power of God. Verse number 7. How that he parted the River Jordan. Look at verse number 9. Something else took place in verse number 9. The Bible says here in verse number 9, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." Not only did they take 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan River and put them into the Holy Land as a reminder to the children of Israel, but Joshua himself ended up taking 12 stones and he piled them up in the middle of the Jordan River. You say, why would he do that? To remind the children of Israel something. All the children of Israel could see those stones as they were piled up into the middle of the Jordan. And when everybody was clean passed over, and when the Ark of the Covenant came out of the River Jordan, the Bible says as soon as the priest's feet were out of the Jordan, that the waters came again. And when it came again, it covered those stones forever. There's a great lesson in this. A great lesson in the fact that it reminds me of this. We are to remember that when we cross over the Jordan, when we cross over, and by the way, the Jordan River really is not a picture of death. It is a picture of the victory in the Christian's life. As they had the Passover and they crossed the Red Sea, that was a picture of salvation. But now they crossed over the Jordan River. They left the world behind. You know what happened in the wilderness? They sinned against God. They failed. They complained about God. They said, you know what? We loathe this man. We don't want any more of it. They complained about God, proclaimed about God's provision, and they proclaimed about God's preacher. And God sent fiery serpents among them. And as Joshua erected these 12 stones, it was to remind every tribe, when the waters came and covered them, your past is the past. And your past is covered. It's gone. Gone. Buried in the deepest sea. You know, that's what God does to our sin when you get saved. He takes our sin and he casts them as far as the east is from the west, according to Psalm 103 and verse number 12. And the Bible says that he will remember them no more. And listen, as a child of God, when you cross over into victory, he wants to remind us that we are to remember that the past is buried and gone forever. As a child of God, your sin, your failure is buried, it is gone. He has made you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says he would remember your sins no more. Those stones were covered, never to be seen again. There was something else they were to remember. Look at verse 10. It says, "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over." I want you to picture this. The children of Israel stood in the land of Moab. They stood on the west side of the Jordan River. And the priests took the ark and they stepped into the water and the waters parted. The priests took the ark and they walked on dry ground out to the middle of the Jordan River on dry ground. Joshua gives the command, "Come on, boys, follow me." And the children of Israel started going across. And as the children of Israel were going across the Jordan River, they passed by the Ark of the Covenant. Each person from every tribe passed by the Ark. What was the Ark? The Ark of the Covenant was a piece of furniture that God used in the temple. And at that point in time, it was the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant, It was a box held with staves. It was made out of what was called acacia wood or shittim wood, and it was completely overlaid with gold. Inside of the ark, there was three things: the Ten Commandments, a pot of golden manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Over top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. It had cherubims with angels stretched out with wings going one towards another, one this way and one that way. And between the cherubims, the Shekinah glory dwelt. Now don't miss this. The Shekinah glory was the presence and the power of God revealed to God's people. It was a pillar of fire by night that illuminated them. It was a pillar of cloud by day to overshadow them. Now, as the children of Israel were walking through, they saw the power of God. They saw there was over 3 million Jews that crossed that river. It was not a stop and go gas station. Run in, run out. It wasn't a 7-Eleven. This took some time. It probably took several days for them to carry all of their belongings from one side of the river to the other side. And as they passed by, they saw at night as they passed by, they saw the pillar of fire. As they passed by during the day, they saw the cloud overshadowing them and the glory of God. Every person individually experienced God's presence. We need to understand this morning that these stones of remembrance, they were to remind the children of Israel that they personally passed by the ark. Grandchildren were born later, and great-grandchildren were born later. And those grandparents would say, "Listen, sonny, I remember the day. I remember the day that when God went ahead and parted the waters. I remember when he parted the waters of the Red Sea and I was just a young boy. I remember now I'm older and now I pass through the waters of the Jordan River, and I remember that. And listen, I remember seeing the presence of God. I remember passing by as the pillar of cloud was there and it overshadowed me. I remember someone telling me, and I was looking from the other side and I saw the pillar of fire as it came up and it illuminated the whole area." You see, they were to remember that the children of Israel personally passed by the ark. You know, it's one thing for someone to have a great experience or to have that experience and then tell about it. It's another thing to have an experience yourself. Amen? Amen? I've heard some people tell some great stories about what God has done in their life. I've heard people tell about the great revivals that took place. And I thought, man, I'd be great to be able to experience that. And I've heard the stories, and some of these preachers were telling me some of these stories. I thought, man, that is so great. That is so wonderful what God has done. But it's even better when you experience it yourself. Amen? When you experience how that God answers prayer and how that God did something great and miraculous in your life, and you can set your children down and say, you know what? This is what God's done for me. This is how God has answered my prayer. This is what God is doing in my life. And your children say, wow, God is good. You see, that's what these stones were about. It was to remind the children of Israel and the generations to come what God had done. You see, they were to remember God's dwelling place, verse 10. All the children of Israel personally passed by the ark. They all personally experienced God. And then I want you to notice verse number 19 through verse number 24. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, What mean these stones? Now notice this. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Why? Look at verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Why did they set up these stones? These stones of remembrance. Why did they build this landmark? It was to remember the power of God. It was to remind them that the past is buried and gone forever. It was to have them remember about God's dwelling presence over them. It was to remind them that God provided a way. Sometimes we get in life and we think to ourselves, how in the world am I going to get through this? We think to ourselves, I don't see any way around this. And then all of a sudden, God does something. The hand of God moves, and all of a sudden the waters part in our life, and we walk through unscathed and on dry ground, and we get on the other side, and we think, what in the world just happened? Well, we serve a great God. These stones were a landmark. These 12 stones were stones of remembrance for the children of Israel. This morning, I want you to consider, what stones are you leaving behind? What stones are you leaving behind? What stones of remembrance should we have in our life? If I'm going to take out of the waters of life and leave some landmarks behind for my children and for my grandchildren, what is it that they should see? I'll tell you the very first thing. The rock for every person that's here today that you ought to have in your life, it's the rock of salvation. It is the rock of salvation. Listen, I was there. I was there when he saved my soul. It was something that was personal to me. I passed by Calvary myself. It wasn't just a story that my mom or dad told me or the preacher told me. I experienced it for myself. I know what he did. You know, there are people I ask, are you saved? And they'll say, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'll say, what did he save you from? They have no idea what God saved them from. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ, he came to save us from our sin, according to Matthew 1:21. I know what he did. He died for me. I know how he did it. He went to the cross of Calvary, and there he was hung between heaven and earth, and there he shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I know when he did it. I realize that Jesus Christ died for me over 2,000 years ago, but I know when it happened to me. I can't tell you the exact date that Jesus Christ died upon the cross. Maybe some historians can figure it out. Maybe you Bible college students have already got that figured out. The exact day, the exact hour, the exact minute that he died. Bless your heart if you've got that figured out, all right? I just know he did. But one thing I do know, I might not know the day and the exact hour that Jesus Christ died. I know it was several thousand years ago. But I do know this. I know when he saved my soul. And I can look back on October 30th of 1978. And I know what he did. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from going to a place called hell. What stones should I leave behind as a rock of remembrance? It ought to be the rock of salvation because I know what he did and I know how he did it and I know when he did it. And then listen, we ought to have in our life the rock of God's indwelling presence in our life. I can't get away from God. I know there are some people that said, you know what, I just backslid and I got away from God. God won't let me go. There is something going on in my life. Maybe I'm just going crazy, I don't know, but I wake up in the morning and all of a sudden the songs are singing in my mind and verses are going over in my mind. And listen, God will not let me go. And even though I may fall short of the glory of God, God reminds me who I belong to. And God will not let me go. I can't get away from it. The psalmist said, whether shall I go from thy spirit or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Even and if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. The psalmist is saying, I can't get away from God. And you know what? In my life, regardless of where I'm going, there's a voice that just keeps talking to me. It keeps that still small voice reminding me who I belong to. He's put joy in my heart, a song in my heart. And the songs of Zion just keep going over and over and over. And verses of Scripture just keep going over and over and over. And it just won't stop. I thought maybe I'm just going crazy until I started talking to a few other people and they said, you know what, the same thing's happening to me. By the way, if you're saved, that's a wonderful thing if that's happening to you. It reminds you of who you belong to. God just won't let you go. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, Jeremiah was having the same trouble. Jeremiah said, you know what, I am so sick and tired of everything going on. I'm not going to talk about God anymore. I'm not going to go ahead and preach anymore. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit. I'm just not going to live a Christian life anymore. You know, that's where some people are at. Listen, if you can walk away from God successfully, you better check out the salvation that you said you have. Because as a child of God, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Jesus Christ himself said, if there's 100 sheep and one goes astray, he leaves the 99 and he goes after that one that's gone astray. Listen, I'm glad that Jesus Christ loves me enough to go ahead and not leave me alone. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, God was deep down inside of me. And as much as I tried to, and as much as I just didn't want to live the Christian life anymore. He says, it was just tearing me up inside. He says, I just couldn't help it. And all of a sudden, he started preaching again. That's the way Jeremiah was. And listen, if you really got it, if you've really got it, I'm talking about getting saved. I'm not talking about saying some prayer. I'm talking about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, having him dwelling in your heart, and having the Holy Spirit of God moving in your life. Listen, there may be times in your life when you want to run away from God because of all the trouble and everything that's in your life, but God won't let you go. And then I want to just close with this idea. I think in my life, when my life is over, whenever that might be, there's a rock that I want to set down for my children and my grandchildren to see. The rock of my salvation. I want them to see how God saved me and changed my life. I want them to see that their granddad, their father, just didn't talk the talk, he walked the walk. I want them to see someone. I want them to see not just a preacher, but I want them to see their dad, and I want them to see their grandfather, and Lord willing, great-grandfather one day. He walked with God. He lived for God. He didn't compromise. He took the word of God and he preached the word of God the best way he knew how. I want them to see the indwelling presence of God in my life. May God help me. But I want them to see total surrender. A rock of total surrender in my life. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said to the Galatian believers in chapter 2 and verse number 20, later he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, I want to leave a rock of total surrender behind. That means I'm going to die to self. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That means for total surrender to take place, I've got to die to self. If we're going to leave the rock of surrender to the Lord behind, we've got to learn to die to self. Look over at Colossians chapter number 3, if you would please, in your Bible. Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1 and following. We need to have a part of that total surrender, not only dying to self, but dying to sin. By the way, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you stay longer than you want to pay and make you pay more than you want to pay. Sin will hunt you down, find you out, and make you pay. It always does, always has, always will. Sin is not your friend. Sin destroys. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you're saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not things on earth. In other words, we're going to have the right attitude and we're going to have the right action. In other words, we're going to seek after God. You see, we need to die to sin. It says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. And then it says in verse 5, mortify. The word mortify means to kill off. It means to destroy. It says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That means impurity. It goes on, it says, evil concupiscence, a lustful desire is what that's talking about. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If I'm going to have total surrender in my life, and if I want to leave that rock of total surrender for my children and my grandchildren and those to follow after me to look upon and to remind them of what God has done in my life, then listen, I need to go ahead and die not only to self, but I need to die to sin. And then I believe total surrender means that we ought to trust and obey. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. When a person gets saved, they need to be obedient to God and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. When they get saved, they ought to go ahead and witness to others about God's saving grace. When they get saved, they ought not just give their heart to the Lord, they ought to give all their being. That means they ought to tithe. You show me a person's checkbook and I'll show you what they love. I think that we ought to go ahead and practice holiness in our life. Separated unto God. Separated from the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, we ought to follow God's call to obedience. When your children and your grandchildren pass by your life, what stones of remembrance will they see? Will they see that you love God with all of your heart? That you were obedient to God, that your life was filled with faith, that your life was filled full of steadfastness, that your life was filled with endurance? If today you were to leave this world, God forbid, but we don't know, your life will be written in stone forever and never to be changed. What stones of remembrance will you leave behind? What stones of remembrance? What will they say about you? Will they say saved? Will they say lost? Will they say serving? Or will they say slothful? Let us all remember that we're leaving a legacy behind, a landmark, stones of remembrance. May God help us all to leave the right message when we're gone. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed.